Welcome to the Beamsville Church of Christ video ministry. Services are presented on YouTube, Facebook, and our website 1 week following recording. This week's message is titled, So This is Christmas. Thank you to Paul, Mike, and Don for being involved in the video. The scripture reading is Isaiah 61, 1-11. If you're struggling with mental health during this season, help is available. You can visit Connects Ontario for resources.
Good morning. Welcome to Beamsville Church of Christ service, worship service today. Warm welcome to one and all, both in person and online. Today, I hope we can worship God together and learn a little more of something of Him. Take it away with us. This morning, let's start by reading Isaiah 61, 1-11. Then we'll do a couple announcements. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from the darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of His splendor. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. Strangers will shepherd your flocks. Foreigners will work your fields and vineyards. And you will be called priests of the Lord. You will be named ministers of our God. You will feed on the wealth of nations, and in their riches you will boast. Instead of your shame, you will receive double portion. Instead of disgrace, you will rejoice in your inheritance. And so you will inherit a double portion in your land, and everlasting joy will be yours. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrongdoing. In my faithfulness, I will reward my people and make an everlasting covenant with them. Their descendants will be known among the nations, and their offspring among the peoples. All who see them will acknowledge that they are the people the Lord has blessed. I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for He has clothed me with the garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of His righteousness. As a bridegroom adorns his head like a priest, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels, for as the soil makes the sprout come up and a garden causes seeds to grow, so the Sovereign Lord will make righteousness and praise spring up before all the nations. We want to say happy birthday to Brian, Brenda, and Chris, and I will not ask how old you are. We'll assume 29. Seems fair. This year, just a note, we will not be holding our regular candlelight service this year. And from Diane, a note, my thanks for all the wonderful meals that have been coming this past week. The arrival of flowers today was a joy, a lovely Christmas bouquet. Thanks to my brothers, sisters in Christ, my Christian family. And a note, Len is in the hospital with pneumonia, so prayers would be appreciated. Let's open this morning with a prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for all you've given us and all you've blessed us with. Thank you for today. Lord, may we come to you in a spirit of praise, a spirit of honor, a spirit of dedication. May we come with our hearts open, our minds attuned to you, and not only you, but each other, so that we may together experience the community of Christ. Lord, may you be with Don as he gives us a message this morning. May you be with everyone who participates and help us to have an experience that is worthy of you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome. Glad to have you with us today. As we enter into the Christmas season, for many of us, I remember as a young boy loving all of the cartoon Christmas stories that would come on television. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer was a staple, and probably the first time I saw it, I was probably about 5 years old or 6 years old. Now that I'm a few years older, I still love it just as much. They were simple, they were kind, they were beautiful, they were wonderful, left us with really good feelings. Even the Grinch who stole Christmas turned out with a very happy ending. And I don't know if you remember the song about the Grinch. Here are the words. "You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch. You really are a heel. You're as cuddly as the cactus. You're as charming as an eel. You're a bad banana with a greasy black peel. You're a monster, Mr. Grinch. Your heart's an empty hole. Your brain is full of spiders, and you've got garlic in your soul, Mr. Grinch. I wouldn't touch you with a 39 and a half inch pole." Well, the Grinch is not far removed from the real Christmas story in Scripture. There are two main scriptures that I want to look at today. And I'm not sure if you brought a Bible or if you have a phone with the Bible on it, but Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 16. You see, Christmas could have been so much different. We could be gathered today with darkness, with pain, with loneliness, with hurt, with greed, if Satan had won. If somehow Satan could have got in there and took that baby Jesus out of there and destroyed him, can you imagine what the world would be like today? Greed, gore, and guts. Selfishness would rule supreme. The enemy would rule supreme. But we know the Christmas story. But it's interesting to me to look at the alternate so that it would impress us how important the Christmas story really is. Let me share with you a couple of scriptures that you would know probably fairly well. I'm going to read from Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 16. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem, in Judea, during the time of King Herod. Stop. If there was a word that would describe King Herod, it was death. Anything that he didn't like, he would kill it. Anyone he didn't care for, he would kill. His ultimate name would be power. His other name would be control. I'm the boss. I'm going to tell the world how to live. He wanted nothing to do with anyone who thought they would usurp his authority. He had his own children killed. He didn't want them to take his power. He had aunts and uncles killed. He had friends killed. The ultimate name, I think, for Herod was, what a Grinch. The Grinch who stole everything, he thought. So I go back to the Christmas story. Matthew 2. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, the Magi, these were brilliant men, from the east came to Jerusalem, and they asked, "Where is the one who was born king of the Jews?" Herod would say, "That's me." God didn't. "We saw his star in the east, and we have come to worship him." And when King Herod heard about this, he was disturbed. And all of Jerusalem was disturbed because he was disturbed. They knew they were going to pay a price for that. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them, "Where is the Christ? Where is he supposed to be born?" "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet had written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler, who will be a shepherd of my people Israel. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search of the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." He wasn't going to worship him at all. Excuse me. And after they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with Mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, of incense, and myrrh. Ha! First Christmas gifts. Wonderful story, but a difficult story. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said. "Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. Doesn't say it, but I think all of the world, the known world at that time, would go, "Herod's dead? Oh, thank goodness. Thank goodness." One of the best Christmas gifts ever. The Grinch, who almost stole everyone's Christmas. But then that wasn't over. Verse 16, when Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. And it's what Jeremiah said. A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning. Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted. This was a story that is just too difficult to grasp. And yet it's part of the Christmas story. Great joy and great sorrow. And maybe you've had some Christmases along that line as well. But it's the Grinch who almost stole Christmas. And if we go to the very last book in the Bible, in the Revelation, chapter 12, it gives us somewhat the same story, but in an apocalyptic type of thing. Have you ever had a dream that was frightening, it was scary, and yet it was unique, and you woke up and you go, "What was that? Where did that come from? What in the world? I can't even comprehend why that dream." In Revelation, an apocalyptic book, you look at something and you go, "What's the real meaning behind this story? What's the point behind all the story?" Like some of those great Christmas cartoons that we have watched, you know, all over the years. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Well, his nose was so bright and shining that people just made fun of it. But he ended up being the savior of all things. Here comes this Christ child, and we know his story. And that's why we're here today. And that's why we celebrate. But I want us to know that it wasn't easy. Think with me. What would the world be like if Herod had won? And what would the world be like if Satan defeated Christ and defeated God? What would the world be like? There'd be no Christmas. There would be anger. There would be power, would be the ultimate word. And there would be selfishness. Now, we have that in the world today, too, but not to the extent that we would have if somehow Satan had won, if Herod had won. And John, the great John, the lovely John, John in his gospel, who talks about Christ in such a loving and beautiful way, who gives us the scripture that most people can quote, for God so loved the world. He loved the world. Satan didn't. Christ loved the world, that he gave his one and only son, that Christ child that came into the world for us, lived for us, gave his life for us, lives in us today. And the hope that we have today and forever and forever and forever. And if God keeps the world going, this sermon will be preached, or something along this line, to your children, your grandchildren, great-great-grandchildren, great-great-great-grand. It's going to be ultimately going, the story of the birth of Christ and the birth of Christ into us. We are part of the Christmas story. Now, sure enough, there are people who want to be the Grinch. We don't. We want to follow the child of the Christ. But Satan tried to defeat, not only at the birth of Christ, but all his life. So here's this apocalyptic story that's weird. It's kind of a nightmare, and yet it makes this point. I'll just read it to you. Revelation 12, starting in 1. A great and a wondrous sign appeared in heaven. A woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and a crown of 12 stars on her head. She was with child and cried out in pain as she was about to give birth. Then another sign appeared in heaven, an enormous red dragon. This represents Satan, of course, with 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns on his heads. His tail swept a third of the stars out of the sky. Some people suggest that that's Satan and his angels, a third of the angels that followed Satan. We don't know for sure. The dragon stood in front of the child who was about to give birth so that he might devour her child the moment it was born. How's that? She gave birth to a son, a male child, who will rule all the nations with an iron scepter. But not King Herod. That's not who he's talking about. And her child was snatched up to God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the desert to a place prepared for her by God when Mary was told, go away from here. You can come back at a certain time. We'll tell you when, but go away from here. And there was a war, verse 7, there was a war in heaven. Michael, the archangel, and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. Satan was cast down forever. The great dragon hurled down the ancient serpent called the devil, or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth and his angels with him. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, now have come the salvation and the power of the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brothers, Satan, who accuses them before our God day and night, has been hurled down. And they overcame him. Now watch this. By the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives so much, even as to shrink from death. 2,000 years later, it's exactly the same. How do we overcome? By that baby at Christmas. How do we overcome? That baby who grew up, who taught us about God. How do we overcome? By listening to him. How do we overcome? At Christmas, we are reminded that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. That whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Christmas is a birth, a rebirth. It's a spiritual birth. It's this ecstatic joy. Yes, there's gifts. Yes, there's presents. Yes, there's singing. Yes, there's festivities. But it is the greatest gift of all, Christ himself, who lives in each one of us. I hate to even bring up this point, but I think it's worth listening to. Imagine what the world would be like if King Herod had killed baby Jesus. Can you imagine the darkness of this world? The pain and suffering 24 hours a day, the misery that Satan would love to have. But it didn't happen. And it won't happen because Christ lives in us. Christmas time is the story, the reminder of Christ coming to live in the world, more importantly, coming to live in us and for you and for everyone else in this world. It's this happy occasion. It's this bright occasion. And yeah, there are some people who just don't care for Christmas, and that's their choice. But Christmas leads us to this final triumphant experience in the Revelation. So let me just read one more. Revelation chapter 21. Here's the story. Again, it's quite apocalyptic. It's quite a story. It's like a Wizard of Oz story. Is this true or isn't it true? Is what's happening all here? What's the whole point of it all? And you kind of look at these scriptures in Revelation. We go, what's happening, Hall? It's because of the birth of Christ, who comes into the world, who shows us who God is, who lives in our heart, who forgives us our sins, who encourages us. And when we're having a bad day, his friend, the Holy Spirit, whispers to us, it's okay, I'm with you, you're never alone. You're never going to go through this experience by yourself. And even when you're lonely and you feel like there's nobody there, that's when God surrounds us even more. Never for a moment has God ignored you. Never for one moment has he not been with you. I am with you always, even to the very end. And when your eyes close for the last time, they immediately open on the other side and you see him face to face, that Christ child. That's Christmas. That's Christmas. So how do you picture that? John, with these dreams, says this. Then I saw a new heaven, a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. There was no longer any sea. Some people suggest that the reason why John writes that is that in that year, 2,000 years ago, being on the sea could be a pretty dangerous situation. John's saying, no. There's no more danger. I saw the holy city. And for them, the new Jerusalem. Everything has changed. Coming down out of heaven from God and prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And then I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, can you hear the voice of God? Now the dwelling of God is with people, and he will live with them. We will live with him. He will live with us. We will walk with him always. He's with us. They'll be his people, and God himself will be there, be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be, watch this, there will be no more death, no more mourning, no more crying, no more pain. For the old order of things has passed away. That's Christmas. I want to conclude by just reading a couple of scriptures and an article that came my way just recently. And picture this, and I would suggest for the women in our audience, you might really catch on to this. Mary's head tilted to the side as she inquisitively examined the face of this angel so foreign to her. The angel's name was Gabriel. And the words that came from his mouth were strange, unfamiliar, awesome. I'm favored, she said. The Lord is with me. They were puzzling words. And I appreciated Gabriel's assurance, Mary said. Don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Mary was just a teenager and marveled at this messenger from God. And his message was no less amazing than his appearance himself, saying, and behold, you will conceive in your womb. You will bear a son. You shall name him Jesus. And he will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And his kingdom will never end, never end. Mary couldn't understand how this could happen. How can this be? I'm a virgin. I've never been with a man. But Gabriel explained to her that her conception was by the work of God himself, the Holy Spirit. And at this point, many of us would have said, well, I still don't get it. How will the Holy Spirit work this out? And why me? Mary, in her childlike faith, didn't say that. She said, behold, I am a bond slave of the Lord. May it be done to me according to his will. It's here, the innocence of Mary's belief, that we see the evidence of God's wisdom. She wasn't a queen. She wasn't a wealthy heiress, not even a married person. God chose Mary to bear the Christ child, not because of her prestige, but because of her perfect humility and faith. God's ways are not the ways of humankind. His thoughts, too, are alien to us, Isaiah says. But we can trust him. His ways are perfect. His plans always come to pass. And the truth of his word never fails. While we would not have chosen Mary to bear the Messiah, we might have chosen to have the world's Savior born at all. After all, did we even know we needed a Savior? Our own God knew we couldn't live up to a standard of righteousness. God in his wisdom knew we needed a Savior that could relate to us in every stage of life and to the struggles we endure. It was for this reason that Jesus put on the flesh of a baby to enter into our world. Vulnerable as possible. After Mary learned of her role, she ran to Elizabeth's house. And when Elizabeth exclaims her gladness at Mary's belief, Mary exhibits how cemented in the word her faith really was. Though she was very young, Mary's confidence in the Lord was brimming. The mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. The eternal assurance that Mary had was the same assurance that safely held God's son. Beneath a starlit Bethlehem sky, the baby, Jesus, the one who created all things, the one who bore his life for us, that baby slept peacefully in her arms. The wisdom of God watched over him as the wisdom of God watches over us. That's Christmas. That's Christmas. It may be difficult to get our head around it, but there's never been a time when Christ did not exist. And John says, in the beginning was the Word, Jesus. Amazing. The Son is the image. He's the visible of the invisible God. When we look at Christ and hear his words, we're looking at and hearing the words of God. We could almost write the gospel of Christ from the Old Testament prophets. Isaiah, Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son. He will be called Emmanuel, meaning he lives with us. Amazing. Amazing. Do we think of that at Christmas time? The greatest gift of all is God himself, Christ himself, the Spirit himself, who doesn't just come to give, but who comes to live in us. King Herod thought he had all the power and control. Satan thought he had all the power and control. One day, Satan will be no more. The Old Testament prophets tell us the story of God fulfilling the promise of Christ as he comes. May Christmas this year be a special time. And the greatest gift of all, being with loved ones, but just sitting down for a moment and thinking, God is here beside me. Thank you, God, for creating Christmas. And Merry Christmas to you, our Heavenly Father. Amen.
Well, this is a part of the time of the year where we begin to think about God's coming into the world in terms of the Christ child. And we realize that we all anticipate, we prepare for his coming. It's called Advent. And when growing up in the church as I did, when a young Christian and all that, didn't hear that term around Christmas in my congregation. It wasn't even mentioned. Might get a Christmas message the Sunday before, but it was conflicted. It was very conflicted. And you know, as an 11-year-old to about when I became a Christian at 13, and I was the only one in my family that decided to put on Christ. Well, do I celebrate Christmas, or like all the Santa Claus and a Christmas tree? But I have the story of Jesus here. And as a 13-year-old, I'm like, what am I supposed to do with that? How do I tell my family? Or can I read the story of Chris before we open our gifts? And that I asked, that never happened. There's different levels of preparation and how we choose to prepare. I mean, our whole life is a preparation outside of our Christianity, and our whole Christian life in itself is a different type of preparation. And that's what Advent is. It signifies preparation for an important person, arrival, or event that's going to happen in the world. And the early Christians just followed like the early Jews. They didn't have written Bibles, and they didn't have, like we have them today, and they didn't really have a calendar like we did today. Their calendar was events. Like for the Jews, the Passover, Sabbath, Feast of Purim, and all those other things that they wanted to be a part of. That's how basically they lived their lives, and they prepared for those feasts, and they lived their lives according to to their faith in God. And we're no different. The world does not dictate to us as Christians how we should prepare to celebrate Christ. And really, we celebrate his birth, and but the early Christians also had an Advent of looking forward to his coming again. As he said, he would return, but he also promised that he'd always be by our side, but he would come again, and he would never leave us as long as on this earth, and we believe that. So Advent is very important. I've come to learn that in my you always have a journey of faith. So what are we doing to prepare for the coming of the God into this world, a renewal, the beginning, the end of an old year, the beginning of a new year, to prepare new resolutions, new Christian resolutions. How can we be better people in a world that's gone so wrong and so full of evil, it seems, at this time? But there's a lot of good there, and we're the people that make it good. And there are many others out there that make it good. So communion really is another form of preparation. Jesus celebrated communion, the communion with his disciples within the Passover meal, a meal within the meal, to prepare for his death, prepare for his resurrection, prepare to fulfill the promise that he came to do, and that is to take away the sins of the world. As John said in chapter 1:29, he points to Jesus and says, "Look, here is the Lamb of God who comes to take away the sins of the world." And that was what Jesus' whole preparation was and what his whole ministry was all about, to come and save us, not us, but the entire world. So what are we going to do to turn around and prepare and serve Jesus better and surround those that need our help, our prayers, our care, and concern? And that encompasses the whole world. So communion is a very important part of, it's like an Advent. It's really looking forward to when Jesus will come, and he promises that he will not eat and drink again until he comes again and shares with us in the new kingdom. And that's why we do this stuff, for each other and for the Advent, and the promise that he's going to come and join us, and we're going to all share again in communion in person. So communion is a very important part of our Christian lives, and the Christmas season is a very important part. So a lot of things are kind of just threw all in there, but preparation is different levels, different things to different people. How we prepare is between us and God. Let's go to God in prayer this time. Father, we thank you for the blessings that you've brought through our brother Don in the message, and how we are in the Advent season and we are here to prepare for your coming as a Christ child. But again, as we eat and drink your fruit and the fruit of the vine, which represents the blood that you shed for us, and the bread that represents the body that was broken for us, we prepare our hearts, Lord, prepare our minds, and help us to be seekers of your will and to hold on to the promise that you've given to each one of us. In Christ's name we pray, amen.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Don. Don, your message of God giving of himself for us, Herod and Satan losing, and therefore God being with us and us with him permanently. I was trying to think as we close today, what's my response to that? It's a fairly big thing. So as we close today, I'm going to read Psalm 98. Psalm 98 is interesting because it's both a praise to God, but it's also a call to action for us. I think for myself, this is my response to Don's message. If you feel so moved after reading, I'd invite you to say amen. And then we'll close. Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made his salvation known and revealed his righteousness to the nations. He has remembered his love and his faithfulness to Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Burst into jubilant song with music. Make music to the Lord with the harp and the sound of the singing, with trumpets and the blast of the ram's horn. Shout for the joy before the Lord, the King. Let the sea resound and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the mountains sing together for joy. Let them sing before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples with equity. Amen.
Thanks for watching or listening. The Beamsville Church of Christ meets at 4900 John Street, Beamsville, Ontario. We are currently holding in-person services following provincial COVID-19 regulations. If you would like to be part of the videos but aren't comfortable joining us in person, you can send us a video. Get in touch via email or on Facebook for more details. Scripture quotations marked NIV, taken from the Holy Bible, New International Version, NIV. Copyright 2011 by Biblica Inc. Used by permission, all rights reserved, worldwide. You can find out more about the congregation on our Facebook page or at beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca.